Good morning. Today is Tuesday, July the 28th. Joining us this morning, newly minted police chief, Casey Day from the city of Fortuna.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Doing well. It's nice to be able to go home at the end of the day with a dry uniform. So,
yeah, we'll get into that detail a little bit. And Merritt's okay, right? You didn't bump him off for the opportunity to appear on this show.
No, not at all.
All right. Okay. So we've got our little thing here. It's called Why Do We Say That? Are you ready to find out why do we say that?
Yeah, let's go, right?
All right. Sarcophagus. Where do we get the word sarcophagus?
I'm going to say that's probably got some origins from the Greeks.
Ooh, nailed that part. The first syllable is Greek, and let's see. Sarcophagus was originally the name of the stone chosen by the ancients for their coffins, and not for the coffins themselves. The stone was believed to consume the body placed within it, and the name comes from this belief, being a combination of the Greek, sarc, meaning flesh, and the rest of the word, meaning to eat.
Huh.
That's kind of weird.
Very interesting.
Hmm. I wonder if they have that explanation in some of the museums in Cairo.
I'm going to say no.
Yeah, yeah. I'll say no to that one, Alex, for $200. Oh. So who in the world is Casey Day?
Well, I am about a 20-year law enforcement veteran. I grew up in Shasta Lake City in northern Redding in Shasta County. And
So there really is a city.
Yeah. Well, yeah, when I was growing up, it was called Central Valley, and then they incorporated and changed their name right about the time I hit high school. So, yeah, I grew up, you know, 5-10 minutes from Lake Shasta and did all the things that kids do in that community. And
Water puppy,
yeah. Okay. Hunting and fishing, a little dirt biking. But, yeah, I spent the last 19 and a half years with Anderson Police, which is just south of Redding. And, you know, during the car fire and the campfire, my family and my wife and I, we were spending quite a bit of time over here just to escape the smoke and the heat. And that's really where we found Fortuna.
Everybody finds Fortuna in their own way. So Anderson is a little bit bigger than Fortuna, right?
You know, it just depends on what perspective you put it in, Brian.
Let's call it functional. Yeah, it's like Eureka's 28, but it's really 50.
Yeah, I would say it is. You know, it's definitely busier. We get the influx of people doing business and consumers that are coming through Anderson. It's an I-5 town, which is another factor.
That's what I was going to ask. I-5, because there's, I guess back in the 60s, I think it was the 60s, before I-5. Mm-hmm. They were determining whether or not they wanted to expand 101 and make that the major, mm-hmm. or bring something up through the valley.
Mm-hmm.
And Redding and Eureka were identical at the time.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's been some influence and some impact on that. So how much is having I-5 there influencing the type of crime that you have?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, you know, this isn't something new. It's something that I saw, you know, even years back as a patrolman, where, you know, I-5 was being heavily utilized for not only drug trafficking, but for organizations that would come up and, you know, involve themselves in fraud would be one major area. The other was, you know, some of the shoplifting, you know, mass shoplifting that occurred up and down the interstate.
Well, that's interesting. I don't think I've ever been aware that happens. Now, I don't think it happens around here.
Yeah. So one of the earliest memories that I have was, you know, some of the outlet malls that are located in some of these different towns from Sacramento north up into Oregon, and running into groups that were specifically targeting those retail malls, and they jump from one to the other and, you know, eventually get caught. But, you know, fortunately for us, we were able to catch a few of those groups. You know,
probably having the moving van would be a clue.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, something large like that.
Definitely get your attention.
Yeah. So by not having a major interstate coming through, relatively speaking, is our area more bucolic? than the valley?
You know, I think just doing the research that I've done and talking to the colleagues that I have, both from Humboldt and Shasta, really the thing that resonates with me is, you know, there's violence everywhere, but I think towns that are considered I-5 oriented have a tendency to be more violent. Again, you know, you'd have to really look at empirical evidence to prove that theory, but, you know, I'm speaking anecdotally from, you know, spending 20 years working in an
office. Yeah, experience ought to count for something, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
So when the position came open, yeah, it's always been curious for me, and I fell into it too. If you're number two, you want to be number one.
Mm-hmm.
And then 5 years later, you go, you know, it was so much easier to be number two. Why be number one?
Yeah, you know, it starts from the way I was raised. I was the oldest of three boys, and I have very vivid memories of my mother and father telling me, you know, very early on that, you know, you were first born, you're a role model. You know, like it or not, it's something that you need to embrace. And, you know, so that kind of stuck with me as a human value. You know, right out of high school, I wanted the most challenging thing. And, you know, I was playing football, playing baseball, was doing very well academically, but I enlisted in the U.S. Marine Corps. You know, it was the branch of the service that I felt offered me the biggest challenge at the time, probably based on their, you know, neat recruiting slogans, but... you know,
well, at least it wasn't the uniform.
Yeah.
So, I've heard that that's a big deal also for some of them.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, that was the direction I went. And, you know, it's often said in law enforcement that, you know, sergeant is the best position that you can have in the department. And, you know, I think there's a lot of truth to that. But still, it was still a value and a goal of mine to, you know, always set the example, always try to, you know, aspire to positions of leadership. And I never lost that. So that's kind of what... Why I am where I am today.
Lead the charge, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly. Lead from the front.
Yeah. Well, hate to tell you, but I think you're more of a desk jockey now.
Well, I am finding that out.
But you did avoid the budget, so that's not a bad thing.
I did.
Budget preparation, not budget execution. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with the new, I guess, rookie.
Yeah,
you go back to being
Why not, rookie, don't you?
Yeah, rookie police chief, Casey Day from the city of Fortuna. What made Fortuna magical? I mean, you obviously that, you know, the job opportunity was there, but yeah, I've been told you guys have kind of ingrained already.
Yeah.
Why Fortuna?
Yeah, you know, Brian, it was really... my wife and I, when we were, I talked a little earlier about kind of escaping the smoke and the heat with some of the wildfires that we were experiencing over in Shasta County. And we had really tried, you know, visited, we were camping, we were doing all kinds of things in Humboldt County in different areas. But really, really, it was my family when we were spending time in Fortuna, where they really just felt like, you know, hey, this is like home. It's like we never left home. It was the people, it was just, it was really everything combined. And so, a big factor in, you know, deciding to pursue the position of chief of police with Fortuna was the fact that the family was so comfortable there. And, you know, obviously for anybody, you know, family is important and family comes first. And when you have that kind of dynamic in play, it's really easy to follow through and pursue what you're looking for.
Okay, now you've been here, what, 5-6 weeks?
I think this is week 4.
Okay. Well, I was figuring moving
yeah.
a little bit.
Yeah.
What surprises have you found so far?
I actually have not. I haven't really been shocked.
You didn't discover the restaurant or the cool little, you know, that kind of stuff?
Well, my wife really likes the brewery.
Okay.
Obviously, I mean, I had just a sliver. It was a little window of time to dine in before the restrictions came back from the governor's office. But, you know, I'm still optimistic and still hoping to have some time down the road to discover a little more of the, you know, surprises that await with the eating establishments. But, yeah, really, really no overwhelming challenges, nothing that shocked me. It's just
a nice handoff.
Yeah, it's been pretty much what I expected.
Which obviously sets you up for some issues down the road. When you look at Fortuna as the top cop, what do you see?
I see a community of people that are extremely involved. It seems like I've had overwhelming reception as far as being welcomed. It seems like a very conservative, very polite area of Humboldt County. I feel like people care. And, you know, it's, again, I've only been here 4 weeks. I understand that. But, you know, in those 4 weeks, I've had the opportunity to speak with business owners and community members, citizens, other officials in city government. And there really just is an overwhelming feeling of, you know, I care. So
the engagement.
Yeah.
I would suspect that Fortuna probably has got the largest percentage of locals living still in town.
Yeah.
And the largest percentage of business owners living in the town.
Yes. Now,
maybe McKinleyville also. Possibly, but I'm not sure on a percentage basis.
Yeah.
Where Eureka's got a lot of folks, I mean, you can see it out on the highway, you know, going back and forth, you know, during the daytime we're 80, during the nighttime we're 25.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, there's not that consistency, and I think that's something for Fortuna. Maybe Trinidad also.
Yeah.
Different scales, obviously. Mm-hmm. But that's got to give you a ton of cool opportunities to be able to connect with people and to really get a sense of what's going on.
It does. And matter of fact, currently where I'm staying, I get the opportunity. You know, I could drive, but literally I'm just within walking distance of the police department. So I get up in the morning with my coffee and, you know, I kind of just stroll on into work. And really it's been great because, you know, you get the opportunity to run into business owners that are opening up in the morning and, you know, the residents that are out on their walk. So, you know, they're real quick to flag you down and want to engage in conversation, which I think is excellent.
I don't think there's any standoffishness.
No.
Standoffishness?
No.
I don't know if that's a word.
And it really goes to say something in that context, Brian, about the men and women that are working for Fortuna Police Department. Obviously, when an outsider or a new person comes in, you know, it's like, you know, I'm sure it brings a little bit of anxiety. And the reason I say that is because I've been through that.
Oh, sure, change.
Yeah.
Just change.
But they are extremely dedicated, hardworking, you know, individuals. And, again, it's just another component that has made the handoff or the transition, if you will, even easier, is that they have just been so open to growing, to accepting change. And I think that says a lot about their character.
What about the kids? What is their reaction? Have they had a chance to kind of mesh into the community yet?
They have. So I have 4 kids, 2 boys, 2 girls. And, you know, the youngest one, she's actually over visiting right now. And she had her first sleepover the other night and attended the kids camp there in Fortuna yesterday. But she's already started horseback riding lessons and she's taken full advantage of it. So, the one issue is with our oldest son. He's just worried about whether or not football's a go this year. So he's going to be a senior and, you know, he's been playing, full contact football since he was 5 or 6 years old. So,
he's dad's boy.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yes.
That will be subject of a different program. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
Vanessa with PG&E. If you see a down power line, stay away from it and keep others away. Call 911. Let our first responders come out and handle it. Police and fire will respond as well as PG&E. To learn more, visit pge.com/safety.
There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at smokeybear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service, Ad Council, and your state forester.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Fortuna's Police Chief, Casey Day. Considering some of the different challenges that are out there for anybody that's new, how long do you give yourself before you kind of feel like, yeah, okay, we got 95% of this thing figured out?
Well, you know, I like to think that I start each and every day, you know, with a fresh outlook. There's, you know, really not a lot as an individual that I feel overwhelms me. So, you know, I like to take everything one day at a time and be an optimist. So, you know, I don't know that we'll ever have it all figured out. I think new challenges are going to continue to come every day, especially considering where we are. So it's really about creative problem solving and, you know, being adaptable to those changes that are thrown our way. So I don't know. That's a hard question to answer, Brian.
Considering the realities that we're dealing with, let's set aside the virus and all that stuff, the cultural unrest, I guess, might be the way to say it.
Sure.
Things that we had not thought would be possible are now things we have to plan for.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, earthquakes, okay. I'm sure you've got binders that are all over the place talking about earthquake stuff.
Yeah.
But let's say there was a protest in Fortuna of significant magnitude. Never happened. Yeah, things of that nature. How much time do you think needs to be allocated towards the what-ifs, the pre-planning of things that may or may not be put to use in the next 5 to 10 years?
Yeah, that also is an excellent question. I think a large percentage of your time has to be devoted to preparing for, you know, anything that would be possible. It's a common sense thing. I mean, I think one of the things that you know, many facets of government from all levels, federal, state, and local, have found out during these challenging times is that, you know, maybe we weren't as prepared as we thought we were. And I think that's a tough lesson learned. I think it's a good lesson learned for, you know, people, especially in my position, to start looking at, you know, is this possible? Could it happen? And are we prepared?
Plenty of examples out there, so you don't have to really invent too much. You just
have to kind
of take the front page, so to speak, and take a look-see at it.
Yeah.
Economic realities are part of it, certainly. As you're looking around, do you see the role of a police chief being involved with economic development, economic growth, an enforcer of civil law? I mean, how do you fit in as a department head within the city as everybody's trying to figure out whatever they're trying to figure out?
Yeah. Well, as far as the economy, I mean, that's not my specialty. I don't think it's most, you know, law enforcement executive specialties, but I think we do have a role in, you know, being supportive of changes that benefit the greater good, so to speak. I know that one of the things that, you know, I was just talking with some of my command staff about was the economic impact for business owners, you know, not just in Humboldt County, but in all, you know, communities throughout our nation. It's obviously strained would be, you know, a word to say the least. These are very, very challenging times that, you know, especially as law enforcement professionals, we have to be empathetic to kind of the reaction, if you will. It takes a toll on people. People at the end of the day are just people, and you know, they have to deal with the roller coaster ride that's in front of them. So, you know, you have to be empathetic. You have to do what you can to work with other city officials to recommend things like, you know, I know a bunch of us had come out and talked about, you know, the free permits for the easement extensions for businesses and, you know, restaurants to be able to operate outside.
Out on the sidewalk. Yeah. Al fresco, I think, is the fancy term.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that's just, you know, it's a very small example where, you know, your role as a law enforcement executive really causes you to kind of work with other officials and think outside the box to encourage solutions.
Yeah, that's, you're right. Most cops don't.
Yeah.
You know, it's like HR law. Yeah. Most cops don't.
Right.
But it is part of being a department head.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody kind of being there and sharing what's for the greater good, so to speak.
Yeah. And I think to survive anymore, you know, I would just say this. I think, you know, communities do expect their leaders in law enforcement to, you know, lead in the community, not just within the organization. And so with that, you know, comes some practice, it comes some dedication to not only knowing what the issues are, but, you know, also helping to think about solutions that are, you know, outside the realm of law enforcement. So,
yeah, I would think it'd be really easy, probably for you and maybe Public Works,
mm-hmm.
to get just tunneled.
Sure.
You know, it's all cop. It's, you know, you're inside the building, you're doing planning, you're mm-hmm. doing the execution. Mm-hmm. Okay, you pop out for lunch. And that could be a temptation also, but it really can't be the way you act. Otherwise, you know, you're setting yourself up for all kinds of problems.
Yeah, there's too many needs for, you know, law enforcement executives within the bigger, broader spectrum of the community now. And you just, you know, in my mind, you can't operate that anymore and be able to actually truly make a difference within the community. So I think that's well said, Brian.
Good thing we're taping this thing. Yeah, available on an internet location near you. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Casey Day, Fortuna Police Chief. Casey, what has been the response by the local others, you know, the guys with the stripes and the stars? Is the sheriff, have you talked to him, Eureka, Arcata? You know, are you part of the club, so to speak?
Yes, absolutely. Even before I got over here, I had, you know, such a warm welcoming by the other chief executives throughout Humboldt County, emails and phone calls from, you know, the Sheriff Hansel, you know, the chiefs.
We don't call him that around here. We just call him Billy.
Billy.
Yeah.
And then Chief Brian Ahern, just, you know, a class act, you know, reaching out and offering, you know, just being there. But it's really been all the chief executives throughout Humboldt, and, you know, it during my first week, I think I was here like 3 days when I went to my first chief executive meeting up in Eureka. So, you know, again, they, you know, it was plenty of time to introduce myself and get to know everybody, and it just seems like it's going very well.
Well, you know, if you ever need to have a chief's party, you've got so many of them in Fortuna, you probably wouldn't have to bring even the meat.
That's true.
So what's on your short list for August? What are you hoping to get under your belt in August?
Yeah, so a couple different things that we're looking at. One of the big things that I'm passionate about is the Fortuna's canine program. It has been absent now for quite a while, so I'm looking at, you know, getting the canine program back going. Right now, it's really just an issue of, you know, getting things in motion. It's we have plenty of money set aside for the canine program and have just started also just, you know, taking some donations for some of the other equipment that's involved. But I see it coming to fruition sooner than later. Other things that we're working on is just, you know, basically maintaining the successes that Fortuna Police Department already has, but, you know, looking at growing the culture of the leadership there. Currently, we are, the command staff is undertaking a leadership study project, which I think is significant in just kind of identifying where we go from here. So,
There's a, certainly it's easy enough to accomplish.
Yeah.
They're not majors.
No.
You know, or to blow the system up and start all over, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so. little tweaks here and there, and keeping myself open to, you know, the ideas of others. And
well, and also not letting people know you're a Cowboy fan.
Well, yeah, I can't help that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, as long as we get you for the Warriors and for the 49ers, I guess we're okay, huh?
Yeah, I'm a fan of all of it. I like to, no matter who's playing, I like to watch it. So
there you go. Throw in the Giants for good luck.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, bud. Welcome to the neighborhood.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it.
See everybody tomorrow.